Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. Today, I have the good fortune to be interviewing a good friend of mine, Dan Nicholson, who is a best-selling author, entrepreneur, and certainty advisor. Dan's been a serial entrepreneur since birth, but I think probably at the age of two, you weren't necessarily an entrepreneur.
Sure.
He's been doing it a very long time, despite his youthful appearance. He's the founder of multiple companies across finance, accounting, and software, but his real passion is teaching entrepreneurs and small business owners. He takes the conventional and applies it to the non-conventional by helping purpose-driven entrepreneurs like us achieve financial certainty. He is the author of Rigging the Game, How to Achieve Financial Certainty, Navigate Risk, and Make Money on Your Own Terms, which is a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller. He's also a podcast host. We're going to talk about all of this stuff and Nth Degree CPAs. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Super excited to be here, Seth. Always good to chat with you.
Likewise. For our folks who didn't see our original interview a number of years ago, let's go back in time just a little bit and do, obviously, want them to, they'll see your story in the book, but the short version of how did you and Nth Degree CPAs get started?
Yeah. As you were mentioning in the intro, always been an entrepreneur, just scheming on business ideas. My poor parents had to try to rein me in because they were mostly terrible business ideas. And went off to college, got a accounting degree and an information systems degree, just thinking the combination of those two would be the best skill set to be an entrepreneur. And then I went arguably as far away from entrepreneurship as you can go, which is I did a fellowship at the board that writes all the accounting standards here in the US. And usually people will say something like, please don't tell me any more about that. That sounds like some sort of a masochistic endeavor. Truly life transforming in that experience, not because of all the technical stuff, but in terms of the environment that you walk into. And so I was super blessed to have that experience. And then I went down this more conventional path. People kept hiring me. So like, you did this fellowship, you got these grades, you won all these awards, you must be smart. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, you should not hire me. I'm going to be your best employee for 90 days, 20 days. And then I'm going to get bored and I will have figured out how to skate by as one of the top employees, but I'm going to be doing the minimum because really I should be self-employed. And so I went and the resume looks cool and I could make it sound really strategic, but honestly, I was following these, what should I be doing with this fellowship and first person in my family to go to college? But ultimately I was miserable. And finally I realized, hey, maybe I'm pretty good at this accounting finance thing. And I see an opportunity to do something different in the CPA space. And so that was 16 years ago now that I finally left the corporate drudgery and followed my true passion of being self-employed entrepreneurial.
Awesome. Congratulations on all of that. Obviously, the longer version of that story is in that book and the other books that you've been in and written. So let's talk about why Nth Degree CPAs is different from a traditional accounting firm where they get referred to as a bean counter because you come to them at the end of the year and they tell you what you owe. How is Nth Degree CPA different?
Yeah, I had an IT guy come and set up our Wi-Fi years ago and he thought it was hilarious to set our password with bean counter in it. So we are You literally were trying to be the exact opposite of that traditional trope. I remember just viscerally cringing. He realized I didn't find it as hilarious as he did. So, but what I recognized 16 years ago is that small business owners, individuals, they pay the highest average tax rate. Corporations, sophisticated investors, the lowest. Most people are generally aware of that paradigm. What they're not aware of, and I find this interesting, is if you look at the average tax rate by year for the last 100 years and you put it on a graph, it's a flat line. Meaning that basically, even though we've had higher top-end tax rates than we have now and lower top-end tax rates, the average has stayed basically the same. It doesn't fluctuate more than one percentage point up or down. And the reason why that's interesting to me is that it signals that taxes are like everything else in life. If you want a better outcome, you have to be future-focused. Change your behavior. What I was doing for big corporations, sophisticated investors, and these different kind of corporate drudgery jobs was we were constantly focused on the future. The small business owner, the individual taxpayer, they have someone that says this year's taxes, and they're asking you about something that happened 12 to 18 months ago. They're always living in the past. I call those CPAs archaeologists. They're just digging up the past. Now, as a kid, archaeologist, it sounds pretty cool, but it's actually incredibly dangerous if you want to pay the least amount of tax legally required, because you have to be future focused, what the big companies are doing. And so it's a orientation doing that. I call it the George Costanza. We're just doing the opposite, really. Stop living in the past. Let's be future focused. So we were one of, if not the first firms in the U.S. 15 years ago to target small business owners with tax planning, tax strategy as the lead domino to everything that we're going to then do for you.
What inspired the book?
Having to unlearn everything that I thought I knew about business. Like I said, got good grades, did this cool fellowship, worked for some notable people, started a business, thought I knew all this stuff. And constant failure. And I saw the same pattern in the several thousand clients that I was working with. Of just the conventional business strategies are built for Fortune 500 companies. They don't necessarily work for the small business owner. So I had to unlearn those things. I had the benefit of my own experience, but seeing thousands of clients go through it simultaneously and collect the data and then develop a different, what I would call operating system for how you work as what I call a purpose-driven entrepreneur.
Awesome. Now, obviously we want folks to go get the book, Rigging the Game. We don't want to give away all of it, but we do want to tease them a little bit. Don't share all of them. I know you have several commandments of financial certainty, which is something I think as entrepreneurs, we all desperately want more of.
Yeah. So financial certainty, I heard this equation from this guy, Chip Conley, and he said, anxiety equals uncertainty times powerlessness. Remember, it's the exact spot I was in my car when I heard that equation. Of course, I'm a math nerd. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. This, that's, again, visceral reaction to, wow, yeah, it's a multiplication. And so using that same math nerd in me, I added in, okay, financial anxiety. That's what my clients are dealing with. Financial anxiety equals financial uncertainty times financial powerlessness. And so, aha, this is what I need to do. I need to give them certainty and give them more power over their finances. And in order for that to happen, again, we have to have a set of rules. And I call them commandments because we're more likely as entrepreneurs to break rules, but commandments feel like my life is going to go into some sort of like mortal peril if I violate these. The one that tends to resonate the most, that people have made shirts that they wear around, that's closer over more. Every action needs to get us closer to what we want. We're biologically wired through dopamine to think that more is the answer to everything, but it isn't always the case. In fact, we have to be clear on what we actually are trying to get closer to, because there's an infinite number of trade-offs, which is my second commandment. Every decision that we make, we remove an infinite number of other things we could have been doing. So if we're not getting closer to what we want, we're potentially getting further away.
What are some of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs making?
The number one mistake is not understanding risk. We are taught this notion, and it's an incredibly powerful sales technique, to teach people that they need to go all in, bet on yourself, burn the boats. Most of us don't even know the true historical backstory of burn the boats. I write about it in the book. If you learn it, it's hard to unsee. The whole notion is actually to take the least amount of risk. You don't want to blow yourself up because then you're out of the game. And so we have to reorient ourselves to take risk, what I call asymmetric risk, where there's significantly more upside than downside. And that may sound obvious. Of course, I want to take significantly more upside than downside. But that's not what I see most small business owners doing. They're making bets where if they don't get a return in the next month or two, they've got to let people go. They can't pay their bills. So the downside is significantly more than the potential upside.
Now, what are you work differently than a quote unquote traditional accounting firm? How does your process work?
Step one is helping clients get clear on what I would call their solvable problem. Solvable problem is their unique definition of wealth. What do you want? Taking your vision board gives you a bunch of dopamine because you're like, cool, I'm going to have a six pack and I'm going to be an amazing father. And why? Because I put pictures of someone who's an amazing father and a six pack on a piece of paper. So it's going to happen. I'm going to manifest it. And most folks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they don't make any progress because that vision board isn't a solvable problem. It doesn't tell them the resources they need to achieve those objectives. And it doesn't give a timeline. It's like telling Google Maps, I want to get to Disneyland tomorrow, but I'm not telling it where I'm at today. And I'm not telling it the mechanism that I'm going to use to get there. Am I walking? Am I driving? Am I flying? That's how most of us pursue our goals. It's not solvable. So we take their unique life objectives and we turn it into a solvable problem. And we look at, based off what you're making currently, what you're doing with tax planning, how you're managing your liquidity, solvency, all these other factors. Here's how long it's actually going to take you to achieve that. Unfortunately, for many folks, it comes back with some number like 2,000 years. Sorry, you're not going to live that long. That sucks. Being a little bit hyperbolic, but often it's not accomplishable. And then we show them what's the path of least resistance, least amount of effort, least amount of risk, most amount of options to get you there. If I can recover hundreds of thousands in tax, someone with a 20% profit margin, I recover 100,000 in taxes, that's the equivalent of adding $500,000 of revenue to their business, but with no additional effort, really oftentimes, or very little. So we recover that and then recompute. Okay, now with that extra 100 grand, we just cut off 20 years of time and you achieving. And then that sort of informs the next step that they take. So it's really, again, trying to show them the least amount of effort and least amount of risk.
And it sounds like you're being proactive in creating a real plan as opposed to just, hey, seeing somebody once a year and then reporting what they owe.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. If I'm just reporting what you owe, I'm not actually saving you money on taxes. I'm just telling you an outcome. In fact, a lot of people report that they feel like their accountant works for the IRS. In many respects, if you're not doing planning, in a way you are. You're just reporting based off those rules. And there are rules out there that legally allow you to pay less in tax. So we're not doing anything unethical. We're just following the rules. And we're digging into the court cases and IRS audit manuals to tell us exactly what you're allowed to do.
Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Showing people that they can live the life that they want on their terms. So many of us fancy ourselves as stoics in the small business community. That's become a very buzzy thing in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yep. Ryan Holiday and a few others wrote some very popular recent books about that.
But if you have to prove to yourself or to someone else that you're good enough, then you're not a stoic. You're an Epicurean. You don't have to prove anything. You're allowed to want what you want because you want it. That's a preference. And so many of us are out there constantly feeling like we have to prove that we're good enough. And I get it. I've been there for sure. Being an entrepreneur can be incredibly lonely. You're the boss. And you need to maintain this leadership position at all times. And so we can get ourselves in this position where we're constantly in chasing more because we're trying to prove that we've made it, that we're good enough. I just love being able to, one, help people reframe that. They don't expect that from an accountant. Hey, you don't need to justify to me your goals. If you want a private island, you want a private island. Good. Like, what makes no difference to me, I'll show you how to make that possible. But let's do it in a way where you can actually live the life that you want on your terms.
That sounds like what we all want. For our folks who are watching or listening and want to learn more, where is the best place for them to go get Rigging the Game? Where is the best place for them to learn about you and Nth-Degree CPAs? And where is the best place for them to go to learn about the podcast?
Yeah, so if you type in riggingamazon.com, it'll redirect you to the page on Amazon to purchase the Rigging the Game book. Otherwise, Nth-Degree CPAs would be the place really to find out more about what I'm up to. And there's links to podcasts and other things that you'll find.
Awesome. This has been Seth Green with Dan Nicholson from Nth-Degree CPAs and Rigging the Game. Dan, we know your time is incredibly valuable. Thank you so much for sharing some of it with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.